Weekly Hardcover Batman, Chip Kidd's on the show.
Hey, Nate, how's it going?
Hey, it's well, Donovan. It is going very, very well.
Welcome to show number 17?
Could be. I don't really count. Yes, welcome back to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm Nate Voss.
I'm Donovan Beery, and we got another guest today.
We do. It's not really a big deal, though. We're going to get to our guests in a minute. You know, whatever, really.
So we have this new student. Yeah, we have this new student competition for you students out there.
Yeah, okay. We want to talk about this real quick. This is the 36-point student design challenge.
We're going to give you about 8 weeks because we know student projects take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
They're not done like in 2 days.
No. Well, actually, yeah, they usually give you like 8 weeks to do a project, and then when you get out into the world, they give you about 8 hours, and then your head explodes as a recent graduate. But So basically what we're doing is we here at 36 Point really value the student listeners. We're going to be giving some things away. All you have to do to win is enter a school project that you are working on for class that you will turn in for a grade. Work in these three things that we are going to tell you.
And to get the format to send it to us, an email, just go to the website at 36point.com.
Go to 36point, click on Student Design Challenge. It should be right there.
And the three things you need to work into whatever project you got is a 36, as big as possible.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with numerals, but, you know, if they wanted to write it out, that's acceptable.
Yeah.
We're going to need a big, giant 36 in there, worked in whatever means you see fit.
Right.
Second requirement, this piece can only be done in red and black ink on white sheet of paper, the way graphic design should be done.
I think that's a given. Any project you're doing is like that anyway.
The only thing I'm going to put on top of that is that it should not be a piece where that is a prerequisite. Like if the assignment comes to you and your professor says, this has got to be in red and black and white only, I don't want to see that noise. You can only do this if that's not a requirement of the project.
And our guest, Chip Kidd, today will tell you what's the third thing that your poster has to have for a project.
It must have an adult human male penis.
Sweet.
Okay.
So a giant 36, not necessarily a giant adult male human penis. And, we were going to do the penis track. How far?
It took
2 minutes and 15 seconds before we talk about penises on the
show
today.
We're... Your reputation precedes you.
Oh, yeah, I would think.
Let's wrap this up real fast. So go to 36 Point, check out the Student Design Challenge. The first thing that we know that we're giving away is a poster designed for a Chip Kidd speaking engagement autographed by the man himself. And Donovan, we are joined today.
Oh, it's also autographed and signed and numbered by Nicole Blau, the designer.
Nicole, ridiculously talented designer.
Correct.
Very smart. Very cool also. You know who else is? Chip motherfucking Kidd, who is sitting right here 2 feet from me.
Now, Chip, and I think we stole this directly from you. We plagiarize bios. We don't do much more research than that.
I'm not surprised.
You shouldn't.
Are we showing our
colors?
So
Chip Kidd is a writer and graphic designer in New York City. Book jacket designs for Alfred A. Knopf, where you've worked since 1986. Have helped spawn a revolution in the art of American book packaging. You won a 2007 National Design Award for Communications, the industry's highest honor. I thought the AIGA medal was the industry's highest
Wrong.
Honor.
Wrong. It was.
Oh, okay. I'm learning that AIGA medals don't mean anything anymore.
No, they mean something. They just mean that you're number two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've got your monograph of your work, Chip Kidd Book 1, was released in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
I like how you have the paperback version of that. Right,
yeah, I didn't buy it in 2005. I think I bought it in like 2007.
Junior.
Yeah, Nate's got the hardcover. And you've written two novels, The Cheese Monkeys and The Learners, which actually just came out in February.
Yes, it did.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah. In fact, when I was supposed to be here last, that was sort of part of, quote, the tour, The Learners tour.
So is this sort of like the tour extension, the return for one night only for the tour?
Yeah, this is the alleviate my guilt stop.
Nice. Yeah. We love that. We love to alleviate all sorts of emotions here in Omaha.
Right.
So, okay, we have a variety of things to talk about.
Well, actually, the first thing, let's actually go through, before we talk about his book, let's ask the questions that our listeners wrote in for.
Do you want to do that first?
We
got a Facebook group. We're wicked tech savvy here now.
Mm-hmm.
We've put
been
it
on
out
Facebook
to our
for upwards of weeks.
Yeah, we put it out to our group members that if they would like to ask you a question to post it on the wall. Many people did, and a couple people sent me some messages.
Well, let's ask half now and half later.
Okay, let's set the tone. I'll ask from our – I have two from people who have been guests on our program before and several from our listeners. Let's do the ones from our guests first.
Okay.
Bernard Wee sends in from Honolulu says, "Hey, Nate, ask Chip if there's any truth to the rumor that he'll be letting us fly him to Hawaii for a visit to AIGA Honolulu. Chip, would you like AIG Hawaii to pay for a vacation?"
Screw them.
Hell no.
I'm tired of their shit. Yeah. You know, that's a good question. They emailed me and kind of teased me with that, and I said, sure, and I haven't heard back from them.
Okay, so, well, Bernard, it's officially on you guys.
I guess Bernard's going to have to give Nate the ticket.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's what my reply to Bernard was, you know, Chip can't do it. We were, Kit Heinrichs, we were his number two in Boise, right?
Yeah.
So we could totally fill in for that if it's not going to work out.
Not if my attorneys have anything to say about it.
Okay. Well,
wow. If Chip can't go, no one goes.
That's it.
That's he's it, putting baby. A block on it.
That's it.
Sean Adams from Los Angeles, California asks,
yeah, big Nate, wig.
Ask Chip to tell his most embarrassing sexual episode. This sounds bad, but is apparently a common dinner game.
Obviously, he has different dinners than I do.
I think so. We can come back to that one if you like.
Yeah, good.
All right. We'll give you some time to think, perhaps. That one, again, from Sean Adams, Adams Morioka. Okay.
So now let's talk about your books, which I have to admit I haven't read. But that's only because I just got the – I was going to start
you
reading it.
You evil bastard. And then you haven't read these.
I was going to start reading it, and then the Wu-Tang manual came in, and then – come on.
I know where I stand.
You stand right below ODB, which isn't bad.
I don't know how you can
– oh, my God.
Let me put this out here. I don't know how you can be a graphic designer and not have read The Chipmunkies. When I read
The Chipmunkies. That's good.
I said that.
That is good. That's the new coining of the Chipmunkies.
I was first introduced to your work through reading that book through the local AIGA. They used to have a book club. I had absolutely no idea who you were or anything that you'd done before that. They were just like, hey, here's a book about going to graphic design school. And we read it, and I was like, oh, my God. Here is a book for us. Here is a book for graphic design. Like, there's a scene, I think, where he's in the subway, and he's looking at the mascot, and it doesn't match the mascot, like, a slightly further distance away, and there's no consistency, and he just can't handle it. I was like, oh my God, that is just...
The bus station.
Yeah, it's a bus station. Sorry.
They don't have subways Penn State University.
It's been 3 or 4 years. I do apologize. I could probably be a little bit more specific about the learners.
At least you read it.
Yeah.
At least you read it.
Thank you.
I assign it as
extra credit for my graphic design class.
Oh, where do you teach?
I teach at a little college called Metropolitan Community College up here. I teach logo design and some intro things. And they always think I'm being really hard on them until they get to winter's section.
That's
and
right.
Like,
dude.
Oh man, we got it made here.
That's well, maybe right. Maybe when I start teaching up again here on Monday, maybe I'll just have my kids read it and give me a book report, and then I don't have to read.
Drive them out to the middle of nowhere, leave them for dead. Have them make signs. But no, the Cheese Monkey is absolutely fantastic, and as a graphic designer, I appreciated that book on so many different levels. So I think I'll probably go ahead and have my massive Chip Kid nerd out here. I absolutely adore your work.
Oh,
I don't hear people say enough. There's a lot of Chip Kid vibe out there. Oh my God, he's the rock star. I don't know how.
I don't hear that enough either.
Yeah, we hear it. I think Donovan's been the one saying it locally.
Mainly because we put the quote that USA Today had that says you're the big rock star right on the front of the poster that the student's going to win the autographed one. So,
for me, I don't hear people say enough
about
how good you are
star?
With type, and I really appreciate. Just, I know that...
but I'm not good with type.
I would say that you are.
I think, I don't know. No, I or think at the my very type least... is totally pedestrian.
Oh, really? Who would you
For the
say,
most part.
In that case, typographically, who do you look up to?
My friend Chris Ware.
Mm-hmm. Who just redid the learner's type I saw on your website.
Oh, is that up on my website already? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He does it all by hand, and it's just... amazing. It's beautiful. I was just on the phone with him half an hour ago. He's going to be doing the cover of the new John Updike book for us.
Mm-hmm.
All hand lettering. I think
think he's amazing. You know, Sagmeister's type is really interesting.
Anything that gets cut into your own flesh is usually...
Well, that's something else.
Yeah. I think I'd like to come back. Let's talk about the learners in a little bit because I don't want to spoil it for Donovan for being...
Right.
Do I need to leave the room when you talk about the book? Is that
it was
deal?
Like it was like the last Are you Harry tell Potter me, book like, you know, and the learners. And Vader both was of Luke's those father. Were a sit down for a full day, read the damn book in one sitting event at my house. I can't... I'm disappointed in you, man. Speaking of books... I'm going to throw this one out to you, a completely random question.
Okay.
Watchmen movie coming out next
year.
Yes,
yes.
I believe you have done a sort of a Watchmen overview book that...
Yeah, it does warrant some explanation. Mm-hmm. How can I condense this? And I don't know, there'll be people out there that won't even know what Watchmen is.
You just fast forward like 5 minutes. Ignore that. If you don't know what it is,
if you don't know, if you don't know what Watchmen is... Listen, because you should.
Well, basically, the writer is one of the sort of top 10 graphic novels of all time, and I agree with that. I think it's brilliant. And it was written by Alan Moore, and it was drawn by this guy named Dave Gibbons, and it was a 12-issue series, and it really was this landmark thing that DC Comics published in the mid-80s. They've been trying to make a movie of it ever since, and Terry Gilliam had called it the War and Peace of comics. And it was ultimately deemed unfilmable as
well,
it
up
is.
Until the technology came
well
out.
Yeah, oh, yeah yeah then the they rings, finally yeah. You know, as with so many other things like Iron Man, etc. So the artist Dave Gibbons came to me and said, I want to do an Art of the Watchmen book. He said, I've saved every scrap of paper that I used to make this thing, and I want you to put it all together. And I basically said, I can't. Not because I don't want to, but basically because I was at the time, like, this book, the Watchmen book will come out at the end of October. It's called Watching the Watchmen by Dave Gibbons, and then my name's under it, too. And then I'll get to that real quickly. But I have this other project that I'm doing, which is called Bat Manga, The Secret History of Batman in Japan, which is also...
A question about Bat Manga in here.
Well, I would hope so. But I was just like totally in the thick of that project, which is also coming out at the end of October. And I basically said, I can't devote the kind of time I would need to the Watchmen thing.
Yeah, because Watchmen fans aren't the type of fans where if you do it half
No, I mean, the, you, like, oh, you, just, you just can't. You just can't. And the other thing I have to say, I was skeptical because there's this thing that's called Absolute Watchmen.
Yeah, the big...
Which is the big compendium, which is beautifully done. And beautifully designed, and it's got a ton of extra stuff in it. And I just thought, as a fan, what the heck else is there?
Yeah.
What more is there? And so I was like, well, is he trying to beat a dead horse or what? And basically, he said, no, you've got to trust me. I've been saving all of this for a book. And so basically what I did was I did something that I very, very rarely do, but that I also did with book one, and that is basically hire an assistant, but it's much, much more than an assistant. It's basically a person who will put the damn thing together, and I'll sort of look over their shoulder and say, okay, move this around and move that around and blah-de-blah. So on book one, it was this guy named Mark Melnick who did this absolutely incredible job because it's such a huge project. And on Watching the Watchmen, it's a guy named Mike Essel. ESSL. He's been on Debbie's show. He is the Mike runs the graphic design department at Cooper Union School in New York.
Oh, okay.
And he did the Art of Dark Knight book, put the whole thing together, which was a phenomenally difficult project because the director was all over. I mean, things that you would think that they would not micromanage, they micromanage.
Oh, sorry, The Dark Knight, the movie.
Movie, yes. Okay. Sorry.
Immediately go for
Frank
Dark
Miller.
Knight.
Yeah, for Frank Miller. So basically, Mike came on board for this Watching the Watchmen project, and literally last night at 4:30, we went over all of the proofs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was boot camp, man. It was just crazy. The schedule was ridiculous, and I'm not going to go into the where's and why's of why. But Dave Gibbons was a saint, fabulous. And you will see the amount of thought that went into making that. Like, I was a Watchmen fan. I didn't know half this shit. And I'd have to go through the graphic novel and show you how
shapes are repeated in ways that you, like the whole smiley face with the blood on it.
Right.
That motif is repeated throughout the Watchmen in ways that you don't realize. Until you've got to go back.
I'll show you.
Now, I've actually read The Watchmen. So, you know, I mean, at least I've gotten that read. It took me 20 years to read it, but I did read it.
So that was worthy of you to read, my novel wasn't worthy to read.
No, I read it like 15 years after it came out. So I'm just waiting for yours to age properly.
Right. There is a paperback coming. I know that you like those. So
that's watching The Watchmen. And it's... you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because, in a way, it's really just for fans. But it's also been interesting to see, like, you've seen the Watchmen trailer, right?
Yeah.
The Watchmen trailer, in case you don't know, has incited sales. They've sold 900,000 copies of The Watchmen just since that trailer came
out. Wow. I can go ahead. One of them was me. Honestly, I was going to tell this.
Well, the thing about that trailer is, I showed that trailer. I mean, basically, okay, I showed that trailer to my boyfriend who couldn't give a shit about comics. And so I'm like, okay, watch it. He doesn't know what The Watchmen is. I'm like, okay, you watch this trailer. And he did. And he's like, what the fuck is that? It just looks like any other superhero movie. Like, I couldn't give a shit about this based on this trailer. And what's interesting to me is this Watching the Watchmen book. Will anyone who's not into The Watchmen care about it? It's going to be interesting to see.
Do you care about anyone that doesn't care about The Watchmen?
If you're trying to sell a book, you do.
Oh.
I mean, and again, that's not really, you know, there is a set audience for this thing. I think the big question among fans, and I've gone into to comic book stores in New York that are like my local places, and the guys are like, we have no idea how many of these to order because we don't know what this book is. What is it? What could you possibly do that hasn't been done? And I'm like, you're going to have to trust me. There are things like Gibbons would figure out, like there's this climactic scene at the end. He would figure out where, if you were standing at each point in this like range of four city blocks, what you would be seeing.
I know exactly, yeah, the part you're talking about.
So he made maps. So it's like stuff like that. And like the trajectory of the nostalgia perfume bottle as it's tumbling through on Mars. He did a whole schematic of like how it would spin in the gravity of Mars. Yeah. And it's just, it's crazy. But brilliant. I mean, brilliant stuff. Like it'll give you a new appreciation, frankly, for what Dave Gibbons brought to that. I mean, obviously Moore is a genius, but he's totally divorced himself from the whole thing. And this is kind of like, hey, you know, Dave did an amazing job too.
Yeah, kind of the underrated side of that team. I didn't realize we were going to actually spend as much time talking about Watchmen as we have. But you've done covers for Dark Knight Returns,
yes.
Dark Knight Strikes Back.
Yes.
When I went out to buy my copy of Watchmen, I thought to myself, surely Chip's got a Watchmen out. I'll go get that one. No Watchmen book yet? Have they not approached you to do this?
That's what we were just talking about.
Well, no, I mean the actual...
That won't happen. And that's the other interesting thing. And that's why I couldn't understand why Dave just didn't put this book together himself. Mm-hmm. Dave designed all that stuff. He did the typography. It's really interesting. And we're going to go into that and show that too. But it was like, he's a really good designer. Design this damn book. I don't know if it was the Peanuts book I did that made him want me to do it or what, but if he just wanted a fresh eye on it, I guess.
Between working on like Peanuts and Batman and all this stuff and big dinosaur books, I mean, what's the project that you still have that you're still trying to get a hold of? Is there any dream thing out there you're trying to?
That's interesting. There's the Bat manga that was 10 years in the making in its own way, and that's amazing, and that's also, I mean, it's a labor of love, obviously, but I don't know if you know what it is.
I've seen the things of it. It's the Batman in Japan work, and you had to like hand sign all 7,000.
Well, there's that, but it's a work of sort of reconnaissance. There for 1 year, a Japanese comics publisher licensed the rights to write and draw their own Batman and Robin stories by and for the Japanese. They came and went. It was frankly considered a failed experiment, and they just kind of evaporated.
They were never collected. They were never translated. They weren't even collected in Japan.
Oh, wow.
They just ran in like, so they're really, really hard to find because this, we're talking, that's 42 years ago. And people in Japan don't really know about it. Now, it would be one thing to say, all right, so that happened and it's disappeared. And so what? Except the work is amazing. And the cartoonist is a guy named Jiro Kawada, and he was a prodigy, and he's still alive. He's in his 70s. And it's amazing stuff. Like, even if it wasn't Batman, or even if, you know, it's really, really good cartooning. So I just kind of took it upon myself, like, this was going to be one of my causes, and I was going to get, and DC didn't know about it, because it was a whole other regime back then, and they didn't archive it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm even kind of like, I just think about, like Japanese comics, they collect everything over there.
You would think.
The fact that it never came together.
Well, there weren't the tubes of the internet back then.
They collected the, I read Japanese comics before the internet.
I think part of it also was that it just didn't translate over there. And I did an interview with this guy for the book, and he started, because he basically, what he would do is they would give him a stack of American Batman comics at the time, what he calls the Bob Kane comics. And so he would basically use that as a style guide and then just do his own stories. And he's like, oh, there was this one situation when Batman was in a life or death situation, and it was very dangerous. And the villain, he would ask him a question. And if Batman couldn't answer the question, then he would die. Well, that is just crazy. I think that's bizarre. That would never happen in our actuality. You know, like all this. It's like the Riddler. They couldn't understand the concept of the Riddler. What he loved was Clayface. Mm-hmm. Like that, he did like 5 Clayface stories. Because,
man, and that's like the one character you barely see around here.
You don't get a lot Riddler? Of Clayface.
The Clayface.
Right. I know.
Riddler came back because, you know, the guy that played him in the 60s was so awesome.
Frank Gorshin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim Carrey, not as much.
No.
Yeah. So then, you say this was 10 years in the making. Was it like did you pitch this idea and say, like, hey, I want to do this Batman book?
10 years ago, I found out about it. And then it was about collecting enough of this material to make a coherent book. Plus, there's lots of toys in it, too, because I collect all that stuff. And I've been collecting the toys for a while, and those are really amazing. The Batman 60s toys. And I hooked up with this other collector, a guy named Saul Ferris, and he was actually much better at finding this stuff than I was. And so then I'd say finally about 3 years ago, I got the proposal together. When I do one of these books, I do a really comprehensive visual proposal that's at least 40 or 50 pages, especially with something like Peanuts. Because the thing with the Peanuts book, it's like the Peanuts people are like, well, okay, but there are a zillion Peanuts books out there. How is yours going to be different than anybody else's? So you have to show them.
Yeah, you really have to prove it.
You have to prove it. Yeah.
So when both of these books that we've just talked about, obviously the Batmanga one will be a bit further down the road.
They both come out at the end of October.
Oh, see, really?
Was the problem, is that the schedules for these books were identical.
Oh, hell.
And I've got also, hello, I've got a job.
Yeah, right. And,
oh, yeah, job. I forgot about the
and,
job.
Which I love, but is full time. And so I really, for me, the concept of working on two of these things at once is like anathema, because I don't want to hire an assistant to do it. I want to do it myself. Now, Mike did a fabulous job, and I don't have any regrets with that, because now my name is on it, and I think it's a terrific thing. But the Batmanga one was the one that I had started and committed to first, but yes, they were like identical schedules.
All right, Donovan, how are we doing on time here?
Actually, let's go back to let's finish. Let's we got some more.
Should
questions.
We do our let's?
Yeah,
let's
and if
do
you want to get
real.
In on any of these things ahead of time,
I mean,
you know,
this,
join our
this,
Facebook.
This
group.
Has been really geekish stuff I'm talking about, so you might want to go. You
I'm not going to lie to you at all. That's why we brought you here.
Well, yeah, all right,
I wanted to do the whole. I wanted to talk about Batman the whole time, but instead we got to talk about Watchmen. I got no problems with that.
Yeah, well, it's all not right. An issue with us. I mean, if the audience,
but I think it's going to be an issue with your listeners.
Well, what they can do is they can go listen to your show on Debbie Millman's show. It's fantastic.
I was listening to the
and
one,
they can catch the backup there.
Okay.
All right. And I have all kinds of random questions that we're going to sneak in at the end. I'll throw one in right now. When are we going to hear Art Break on Rock Band or perhaps Guitar Hero.
I wish I had a coherent answer for you. We've got an album's worth of material. We're recording the album ourselves, and it's just really slow going because of the logistics. And the other guy is in Texas, and he teaches high school. So it's tough. But in the meantime, please go on YouTube and Asymmetrical Girl video and watch it and rate it highly, please.
Yeah. Also, you've got a MySpace page.
We have a MySpace page for it, and I
we'll have links to these in our post.
Probably,
I did a limited edition letterpress single for Asymmetrical Girl, which we are selling on the site.
And that's goodasdead.com.
Yes, and we're also selling it on the MySpace site.
The books
you can go to our store. We got links to them from Amazon.
Sure, or just go to Amazon. Go to Good as Dead. Yeah. You can actually buy, books.
You can even
go to a store.
Right.
Donovan, I should let you know. You can go to a store and get those books. You can read them when you're done. All right, okay. I have questions from our audience for Mr. Kidd.
Yes, they are real.
I will just...
So you can cross that one off.
Done. Let's see. I will get to that one later. A lot of these, like I said, are from students. This one is from Travis Hoffman of West Illinois. Says he doesn't feel like he was adequately prepared for the real design world straight out of college. From what you have seen out of school design students, what, in your opinion, are schools doing wrong in teaching graphic design, or what is a way that they could improve?
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of them like
that. That's a hard question to answer. I will say one of the things that does, and this isn't really answering that question because I wouldn't know how to answer that question. It really... And students, frankly, don't really want to hear this, but it's less about the school and it's more about you. I think as long as you have one or two decent teachers, you have to basically take it from there. And I think the only thing I would fault design schools or design curriculums for is if they're not adequately teaching the history. That is the history of graphic design. If you want to become a graphic designer, really learning the history of it is frankly the most important thing, because that's learning by looking. And that's, I think, how... I mean, I had some great teachers. That's what Winter Sorbeck is all about, is Lanny Simese and this guy Bill Kinzer at Penn State. So if you're at a design curriculum that doesn't have a good history of graphic design class, that's a problem, right? I would say. Other than that, I think, you've got to take the initiative. One of the huge differences from when I was in school and kids now is obviously the computer. And I've seen, there are these kids that are literally like publishing their portfolios, like a design book. And it looks so finished and so professional and so like, there was just no way to do that.
Well, I've even noticed like color printouts are so cheap. When I go see student books, just everything they print out, it looks like real brochures.
It looks real. Yeah, it looks real.
Yeah.
And that is mind blowing. And that you should be students should be taking that to their advantage, because we couldn't really do that back then. So
no, I would agree. Now this next question comes from Roxy. And
does Roxy have a location?
No.
Roxy joined the group today, actually, just so that she could ask.
Okay. In a one word answer, what's it like to be you? I think is that a word?
That's good. We'll have to do it.
Answered. Gotcha. Okay. I'm going to throw one in from Brandon Leedy, who's a student in Cincinnati. Brandon actually sent in like 7 or 8 questions. One of them is specifically related to manga, Japanese culture, and the Batman, which we pretty much covered at this point. His question actually kind of follows up, and we picked these in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of follows up on what you were just saying. With the advent of technology making graphic design so much easier, so much more accessible,
mm-hmm.
he's asking about the sort of sadistic assignments from the cheese monkeys, like driving them out into a mm-hmm. field in the middle of winter. Do you think that it's more difficult for professors to come up with some really difficult, mentally challenging assignments like that now that the technology side of
it shouldn't be? It shouldn't be at all. And again, I don't want to be a parrot about this, but the computer can't think for you. The computer can help you realize what your idea is, but you have to get the idea first.
It can help your idea look prettier, but really it's that the computer's about form and you've got to give it the content, you know? And so it was like, whether we had a letterpress lab in school, which was great. But again, you know, you have to have an idea of what you want to do with that before you can set it all up and print it and make it look nice. So that's a very low tech version of the same thing with the computer to me.
Well, and I think that there's a definite tendency in the students that I see, you know, I kind of teach more the beginning and middle level students now. And, you know, take for instance, your cover for the book Dry, which I think was a printout and you, I don't know, threw a glass of water.
Correct.
I think that it would be the tendency of most design students today to come up with that idea or something similar and then try to do it in Photoshop.
I have that in my lecture. It's funny. I took it out of my lecture for tonight because it's an old job at this point. But but that's precisely what we did. Is I set the type up in Quark, printed it out on an Epson printer with water-soluble ink, tacked it to the wall, took a bucket of water, and threw it at it. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm only half know what I'm doing on the computer. Maybe there's a way to do that in Photoshop.
But really, why?
I mean, yeah. Why? First of all, it was a lot easier. to do it that way.
How many seconds does it take you to throw a bucket of water at the wall?
And any excuse to throw buckets of water in the office around, I say you take.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now. Okay. What?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, very quickly. Conversely, for the next Augustine Burroughs book, which was called Possible Side Effects, it's a picture of a hand that's extended just palm out, and we added an extra finger on it digitally. Well, that's what the computer's good at. Right. You can do that and make it look totally real, and it wasn't that hard, and you know.
Yeah, because that beats, like, cutting off
that,
a finger
yeah,
from
or
one
just
hand
try
and sewing
to find
it onto
someone.
Your hand.
First, you have to find someone or go to a morgue or whatever. That's a drag.
This comes from a listener, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Since you, very
beautiful listener, by the way.
Since you include personal experiences,
you mean
and
you
viewpoints,
don't like cock?
No, not as much. I like mine.
Now she says, since you include personal experiences and viewpoints in your writing, which I'm gonna have to take her word for. Do you ever feel anxious about burying your soul for your craft, and if so, how do you overcome it?
Wow. Well, I don't feel as a graphic designer, I quote, bare my soul. I think with the novels, yes, there is that sort of, you know, the protagonist of The Cheese Monkeys and The Learners is sexually confused, and which I definitely was. I mean, I was and I wasn't, if you know what I mean. Only he's sexually confused in the late 50s and early 60s, which I would imagine was much more confusing and intimidating than it was for me in the 70s and 80s. But even I didn't really seriously deal with it until I was in my mid-20s. So in that sense, yes, I guess I'm sort of bearing my soul about that in the novels. But that's not really what the novels are about. That's just a kind of mitigating circumstance of them. Right. I think the whole bearing your soul thing comes out of something that you're generating the content for. I don't think as a graphic designer you really bare your soul in terms of designing something for somebody else.
Well, and I had seen an interview with you, I think it was last year or very early this year, where you talk about, you know, the next phase for designers is becoming authors of their own work. You know, I've often kind of wondered, okay, well, why is design or graphic design as a profession so wrapped up in clients? So when you look at like
the nature of it,
yeah. When you look at like the books that you're working on now, the Watchmen book or the Batmanga book, you know, those are much more personal projects, I guess, if they're not day job projects per se.
Well, I would say that, I mean, to pick nits or whatever, the Batmanga one's much more personal. The Watchmen thing's much more client oriented, I would say.
Right. Last thing then, do you have a taboo typeface you'd never want to see again on a book cover? What should you tell our listeners not to be using? Maybe it should just go away for a while. Maybe it's one that's just been overused for.
I'm getting tired of the. It's the Gothic font where nothing has a serif except the I. The I has a serif at the top and the bottom, but nothing else does. There may be several typefaces like that, but
You know, we've actually, our listeners have proven to be really wicked good at the research on that. So I'm going to turn them onto it. If you guys listening could identify that typeface for us, we will mark it as taboo.
It might be Bell Gothic. I'm not sure.
Well, Chip, it's been a pleasure to have you on.
It really has. And we didn't.
When you say pleasure, what do you mean by that?
I like being abused for people yelling at me for not reading their books.
That gives you sick pleasure. At you over. Are you kidding me? They're really good books.
I read most of the book about his books.
The last time you were here and you were gracious enough to agree to be on the show back then, I can't remember exactly what the timing of this was, but I know that we had found out that you had agreed to come on before I had a chance to read The Learners, and if I would be sitting here talking to you now, mm-hmm. having not read that, mm-hmm. I would be all up on you about that ending and what the hell happened to Himilzi. And am I pronouncing that right?
It's it's Himilzi.
Okay.
Himilzi.
I'm glad that was resolved, because that was like going into The Learners, I was like, I need to know.
That was the big question I got. I literally wrote a stock letter to readers who read The Cheese Monkeys and were like, what the hell happened at the ending? I obviously did a very, very bad job at the ending.
Because
it was
one of those things
where I was like so wrapped up in it in my mm-hmm. head that it was totally clear to me. And you go on Amazon, half the comments are like, wow, this was great, but what the hell happened with the ending? So I failed.
Well, and to me, that was a part of what helped the book stay with me, was trying to sort that out and you know, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe it's much more like a theoretical metaphysical thing. Maybe she's getting dragged away and by people in a straitjacket. But that actually, just because I couldn't drop it, I was like, I gotta figure out. Anyway, so I'm glad that good. Came back.
The only thing that I would not want a reader to come away with, and I had said this somewhere, is it's like somebody wrote in and said, well, was Himilzi just a figment of his imagination? And like, no, 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 she really existed. It's just that at the end of the book, he's been up for 72 hours or whatever it is, and his brain is mush and et cetera, et cetera.
I love when the girl cuts her finger off, too. I could just sit here and talk about...
It's the other sad thing about you can't cut your finger off on a computer, man. It's
yeah,
sad.
You can't... Well, I've still done it, and that's where I work, but... Let's see, Donovan, I think we have to go ahead and call the show. I'm sure we're going long at this point. Just really thrilled that you joined us today, Chip, and very much looking forward to the
Can you untie me now?
Yeah, we'll totally let you go. Donovan, if you could go get his clothes back out of the locker.
I can't feel my arms.
All right, well, thanks again. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And again, if you guys...
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
I love you.
Send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.